You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Athena versus Ares. One question people sometimes ask me when they learn that I'm a martial artist goes something like this. So, like, why are you so, like, into violence? How do I explain to this vacuous airhead that I train in the martial arts precisely because I'm not, like, into violence? Especially violence as I had experienced it in my childhood. Maybe if I tell her a story about Athena and Ares. As most of you probably know, I was a bookish child, easy prey for school bullies. Starting at about the age of 7, I became a voracious reader. I haunted public and school libraries. I liked the worlds I experienced in books far better than I liked the real world. I once became so wrapped up in a book at the library that I didn't notice the librarians locking up for the day, and they didn't see me either. It was midsummer, so I didn't notice that the lights were turned off. When I finally lifted my head from the book, I realized just how deserted the library was, and then checked the doors and understood my dilemma. I had to use the library phone to call 911 so the police could come and let me out. From before then and until the advent of the e-book, I carried a book nearly everywhere I went. Soon after my wife and I began dating, she found it necessary to point out to me that it was not cool to bring a book along when we went out. One of my favorite reading subjects as a young boy was mythology, with a special emphasis on Greek mythology. The stories of the gods and goddesses, the titans, the monsters, the heroes, and all their adventures transported me to one of my favorite worlds. The 12 most important gods in the Greek pantheon had the special privilege of living atop Mount Olympus in northern Greece, and were known as the Olympic gods, or the Olympians. Zeus, Hera, Poseidon, Hades, Apollo, Hermes, and the rest of the Olympic deities were the core around which much of Greek mythology was based. But the Greek deity who I always found the most compelling was Athena. And conversely, the one I found the most repellent was a piece of work named Ares. Not to be confused with Ares the Ram from astrology, which is spelled differently. Now, both Athena and Ares were Olympians, and both were gods of war. But in all other respects, they were diametric opposites. Athena was the goddess of just war, of defensive war. Ares was the god of aggressive war, of conquest. Athena was the goddess of strategy, tactics, and wisdom. Ares was the god of unreasoning cruelty, rape, and plunder. Athena hated fighting, but was really good at it. Ares loved fighting, and was really good at it. Athena was the prefrontal cortex. Ares was the amygdala. In short, once I became a martial artist, I realized that Athena was the goddess of the martial arts, and Ares was the god of the eternal enemy of the martial artist, the bully. Of course, long before I can explain any of this, most people wander off in boredom. So I'm telling it to you, dear listener. You're welcome. Athena was the daughter of Zeus, the king of the gods. Back in the day, Zeus had had an amorous dalliance with a minor female deity named Metis, who was the goddess of cleverness and wisdom. Afterward, Zeus heard a prophecy that Metis would one day bear children that would be wiser than him, Zeus himself. Now, Zeus had an ego in proportion to his status as the king of the gods, so he wasn't about to let that happen. Guess what he did? He swallowed Metis whole. You know, like you do. But unbeknownst to him, Metis was already pregnant. Anyway, one fine day some months later, Zeus came down with a splitting headache. He asked Hephaestus, the patron god of fire, metalsmithing, and other blue-collar pursuits, to strike him in the forehead with an axe. You know, like you do. Hephaestus, who pretty much always did as he was told, gave Zeus a mighty blow with the axe, splitting his head open. Out from Zeus's head sprang Athena, fully grown, wearing armor and wielding a spear. Now that's what I call an entrance. Ares immediately disliked his new little sister, who to him horned in on his patronage of war. He never passed up an opportunity to hurt those she loved. Another infuriating feature of Ares was his sex life. You see, another of the Greek deities was Aphrodite, the goddess of romantic love and, as I was to learn when I got older, sex. Think of the hottest, sexiest, most desirable woman you can possibly imagine. Yeah, Aphrodite would make her look like a hag. She was married to Hephaestus. Remember him? The god of the forge and metalworking? Kind of the handyman of the gods. In an interesting twist, he was also lame. Anyway, this hard-working, nice guy of a god was regularly humiliated as Aphrodite cheated on him with, of all deities, that slimeball Ares. Not only were the hot girls drawn to the bad boys in my own dreary existence, they were in my beloved Greek myths, too. Athena, on the other hand, was a virgin. Oh well, nobody's perfect. Many Greek myths were later culturally adopted by the Romans, and many of the Greek gods became Roman gods under a different name. Zeus became Jupiter, Hephaestus became Vulcan, and Aphrodite became Venus. Most of the converted gods retained their characteristics from the Greeks, with a few exceptions. Two very noticeable exceptions were Ares and Athena, whom the Romans called Mars and Minerva. The Romans shifted all of the attributes of war god to a single deity, Mars, leaving Minerva as essentially the goddess of arts and crafts. There was no binary treatment of war in the Roman mythology as the Greeks had done. The Romans admired Mars. They tended to consider the Greek mythological treatment of war as a reflection of what they thought of the Greeks in general, that they were weak and effeminate. While the Greeks were by no means innocent when it comes to the horrors of war, Roman history is replete with conquest and genocide on a far greater scale than anything the Greeks could have imagined. Perhaps they could have done with a bit more Athena and a bit less Ares. Our culture was heavily influenced by both Greece and Rome. As a matter of fact, we hear an echo of the Roman admiration for Mars in the name of this podcast. You see, the word martial, as in the martial brain, means literally of Mars. So getting back to the question, why am I so, like, into violence? Well, the premise of this question is false. I am not into violence. As a matter of fact, I detest it. What I am into is not being a helpless victim of violence, which is what drew me to the martial arts. And years before that, it's what drew me to Athena. She was no victim, but was also decidedly not a bully. By the way, if you're wondering if I was ever teased and bullied for the fact that my favorite mythical figure was female, the answer is most assuredly yes. But Athena was way too cool to give up over an occasional ass-kicking. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Marshall Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.